You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Big Pump Pump, Scott Steiner, and you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. In the studio with us, we've got a couple special guests. We'll get to them in a minute. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout. Follow the show, Knockouts and Three Counts, on Facebook at KO3CPod on both Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you're checking out the website. Devin, throw them your stuff.
Throw them my stuff. Man, I am on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E 63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStack No Sizzle, one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News group on Facebook where we talk wrestling. We're probably talking about Bray Wyatt right now. Probably the hot topic in the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yep. And what we got coming up this week? We got BCWA coming up this week, and we'll definitely be talking about that with our guests. And also, on Sunday, we have the Money in the Bank viewing party with the guys from Breaking Down the Ring, man, at Buffalo Wild Wings downtown.
So. And we will be guest starring on Breaking Down the Ring tomorrow, Wednesday, 9:15.
Yes, sir.
Be listening.
So, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests, man?
So, in the chair with us this week, we've got Matthew Priest. How you doing, brother, man?
Doing pretty excellent, gentlemen. Happy to be here. Excited for Space Slam coming up this Saturday from BCWA at the Copeland Center. Can't wait to see you guys there. Can't wait to see the fans. They're going to come great out. And I'm excited for the show. I'm excited to talk about it. Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
And last but not least, we got a guy that I've probably known for, 15 years now? Something like that?
We used
to watch wrestling together back in the day. I got my buddy Darius Samuels in the studio with us. How you doing, brother, man?
I'm all right, man. How y'all doing today?
Not too bad.
I have so many questions, but we'll probably have to ask those off air, man. About this guy.
Fuck you.
Listen.
First curse.
You, did I not tell you? If you want to ask him on air, I got all the scoop for you.
No. We ain't doing that. I got a say in this show, damn it. I got a say in this show, all right?
No, we'll say that for off air, man, because we have Matthew Priest in the building, man. Priest, man. For people that have never seen you before, we'll start off with you, man. For people that have never seen you before, let them know how you got your start in the wrestling business, man.
Well, I mean, I got my start just grinding it out, going out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually, getting some practice and training out in a ring, and then just wherever they can find a ring, you get your workouts in, and then you know, that's kind of how we got our start. You learn from you go. It's kind of old school in a way, and that was 15 years ago when that started. And then finally I hooked up with Briar Wellington, got finished training because I already knew quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then BCWA is where I got my start. Wrestling, I was wrestling a few other shows, but mainly BCWA, and we ran weekly back in the day. Every single Sunday for 4.5 straight years.
Wow.
BCWA ran. I was in the early days of Clash Wrestling as well a little bit, and then it left for the BCWA weekly grind. And on top of wrestling, I was behind the scenes contributing, writing, booking, doing all the fun stuff that I continue to assist with to this day. It didn't take long for me to realize that my passion lied outside the ring instead of inside the ring. In this great business that we call pro wrestling. But that's kind of me. I don't like to talk about me too much because I'm not that exciting of a guy. But Matthew Priest is quite doldrum of a character, if you will, whether I be the legacy or the professor, just out there to educate the fans and give them the archetype of what professional wrestling is supposed to be.
Well, I got one quick question, then Kyle, you got to take over. But a name that I keep hearing is Briar Wellington.
Yes.
I think Dread King Logan, yep. He talked about working with Briar. A lot of, guys.
So did Atlas.
Atlas, too. Yeah, a lot of guys that come on the show said that they worked with Briar, man. So talk to me about Briar Wellington and basically what is it that he does for a lot of the guys in the area, as far as like helping their career?
Well, currently with Briar Wellington, I'll throw this out here for those of you listening. Briar Wellington currently is running the Horror Slam promotion, okay. Deathmatch Wrestling locally. I mean, they got a show this Friday night. You can check it out, Revere, Michigan Horror Slam. Briar Wellington runs that, but he was very influential to a lot of us guys in the early going. He was a seasoned veteran that kind of saw a lot of us hungry, young, passionate guys in the business here at BCWA, and he just, you know, extended the olive branch, helped us out, helped finish us off with training and making sure that, you know, we were good to go. Before that, though, a lot of people don't realize Briar Wellington was on the cusp of a WWE contract in the late 90s. I mean, he was wrestling. I mean, he was trained by, oh, my God, one of the Fabulous Kangaroos, and I can't believe the name escapes me right now. But, geez Louise, that's embarrassing. But, yeah, Briar, all through the mid to late 90s was just – he was like that hot young upstart guy who was a little bit ahead of his time. He'd wrestled in the ECW.
Really?
He was JCW's top heel champion forever. You look at any JCW, any – the ICP fans out there probably are very familiar with Briar Wellington, Richie Boy. But, yeah, he and Rhino were at the same tryout at the same time getting looks, and they trained together. They came up together, and they were pretty tight for a long time.
Speaking of Rhino, did you guys hear that he turned down WWE's new contract, says he's coming back to the indies?
That should be very interesting.
Because he said he wants to be around to help the young guys. Like, I was listening to an interview he did with Chris Van Vliet. I think that's how you say it. But he's all over YouTube. But anyway.
No, it's not. He's going to AEW, too, just like everybody else that leaves WWE.
Hey,
no,
man. It wouldn't shock me if Rhino was just done and looking to come back to the Detroit area. That's where he...
He said he specifically mentioned Ring of Honor, and he said he wanted to be around for a lot more of the local indies because he said, I guess, apparently, he didn't go into great detail, but he essentially was just saying, like, I guess what WWE offered him, they offered him 5 more years at double the money, and that he wasn't going to be... Like, he still wouldn't be wrestling. Like, basically what he's doing now is what he would be doing. And he said he opted out of it because he said he feels like his real role is to be helping some of the younger guys.
That's so good. Good
so what you're saying is we might see him at BCWA sometime soon.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I wouldn't be opposed to it. Well, let's talk about BCWA, man. You got Space Slam this weekend, man.
Yes, sir.
And you guys are bringing in the Rascals, man. Tell me your thoughts on that. And, I don't know. Devin, have you got to see much of them?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of their work in Impact. seen a little bit of their work in Impact, man, but they are very interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing them on Saturday, man, because, like I said, I've seen them, but I want to see them up close and personal so we get the chance this Saturday, so... Talk to us about the Rascals, man.
Yeah, the Rascals is a group. I mean, you got the guys who are going to be at BCWA. It's going to be Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz. They also are joined up with Desmond Xavier, who has been in Impact a little bit longer than them. But all those guys, Wentz and Miguel specifically, going to be at BCWA. They're going to be competing for the tag team championships, along with the Black Sheep, as they both challenge H3RD in a triple threat matchup for those tag team championships. But with the Rascals, I mean, these are two kids who they're still relatively new to the business within the last 5 years. I've been trained down with the OI4K guys, the Chris Brothers, out of Dayton, Ohio, and I mean, they just took off. They caught the world by storm. Two extremely athletic young men, very passionate, very hungry, and they went for it. They got it. They got a great opportunity, and they're doing what every pro wrestler should do. When you get an opportunity, you make the most of it. Whether you're out there for 10 seconds or 10 minutes, that make it the damn best 10 seconds or 10 minutes on the show, and that's what those guys do. So it should be very exciting on this Saturday.
Can I just say that they have...
Wait, he keeps saying hungry. And I'm not paying attention, so I hear the first syllable and I get all excited.
No comment.
Wait, ladies, oh, I forgot to make the announcement, man. We got Drunk Randy.
Hell yeah. So if you didn't already think the show was going to be awesome, you're in for a treat.
Hashtag Drunk Randy.
But before we get off the Rascals, I have to say they got one of the sickest tag team finishers I've seen in a while, dude. Have you seen it, Devin? You need to if you haven't. Go look it up on YouTube.
Everyone should look it up.
It's sick, dude.
Wait, is it? Well, I don't know if this is their finisher.
Dude goes airborne and is in a full-blown backflip, and the other guy essentially throws him over to the other guy. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, I'll definitely. Matter of fact, I'm gonna pull up the YouTube and I'll throw it up on the show page so everybody else
can
see.
Yeah, we'll
it too.
Definitely have that out. You need to check that out. Another big match that I'm excited to see on BCWA Space Slam is going to be the title match between Justin Maine and Dread King Logan.
Absolutely. Anytime the championship's on the line, you got a big match feel. You got two of the absolute best. In this area, in my opinion, in the state. Justin Maine main event, taking on the Dread King Logan. These guys, no strangers to one another, but ironically enough, these guys have never main evented a BCWA show. So I'm pretty excited for that. Both these guys have been around. I've known both guys for 11 years, and I can't help but be happy for both of them in this, and knowing they get this one-on-one match should be very – very exciting. Logan has never won the BCWA championship. It's in a title that's always eluded him. And right now, the Dread King, since he's adopted this persona, he's gone around to company to company to company.
I was just about to say that.
And he's scooping up belt after belt after belt. He is red hot. Justin Maine, on the other hand, his goal was to become BCWA champion. He finally obtained that goal in January. The long journey to get there, he got it. It was awesome, a huge moment. I couldn't help but get in the ring and help hoist the young man up. I've followed his career, been with him from day one, everywhere. However, Justin Maine, his mind might not be into this match if you notice. He's doing more acting.
A lot of movie stuff, yeah.
He's doing a lot of movie stuff lately. He's just coming off of having that broken hand.
Right.
It was almost like the BCWA championship. He fought so hard to get it, and he's losing sight of – it's harder to keep a championship than it is to win a championship. And I think Dread King Logan being red hot, this is a perfect time for him to strike while the iron is hot.
So is what you're saying that you think that Dread King Logan is going to take the belt?
Priest Picks is a segment on the BCWA Facebook page for those of you who want to watch it. You can get more of my thoughts there with me and Blackwell in a speakeasy. But nonetheless... I mean, Dread King Logan, if he's going to be BCWA champion, this is the show to do it. If you want to see a potential new champion, I believe Space Slam is the show to come to, because you could see Dread King Logan scoop up another local championship, and in my opinion, the one that he covets the most.
Well, you kind of said something that I was actually going to ask about. Justin Maine, he's been a little bit Hollywood lately. He's changed his theme music to California Love, which I thought was weird. I was so used to, you know, Carry On My Wayward Son, yeah. And now he's doing the California Love.
I was trying to figure out what it was at first until I'm like, oh, never mind. No.
I love that song, man. That's
oh,
that's
yeah,
all stuck
dude.
In my head.
Carry Makes me think of WrestleMania 2000, bro.
Son. I'm sorry, okay. But, but yeah, talk to me about a little bit more about Justin, man. Like, you've known Justin a long time.
Yes.
What is going on that we're seeing these visible changes like with his persona now?
I think it's like anybody, they've been doing something for so long, and when you have multiple passions, as you get older and you get more ingrained into your different passions in life, you're going to gravitate towards the bigger challenge. And I think for pro wrestling, he's always had that as his number one focus, as his number one dream. He's gone to WWE tryout after WWE tryout. I think he just had one in February, if I'm not mistaken, and he was there. But these acting opportunities are coming up. I mean, we're getting some audio difficulties here. So bear with us, ladies and gentlemen, some technical difficulties.
Hashtag drunk Randy.
Hopefully we're still on the air. But nonetheless, I mean, Justin, like, he's on the cusp of his one goal and his one dream, but he's got all these other opportunities that are more challenging, the acting thing, and he is becoming – very coveted there with a lot of local movies and commercials and things. So it's almost like he's not sure where he lies, but he's moving towards, hey, I'm getting a lot of attention from movies. I'm getting a lot of attention from, you know, all these directors, where WWE's not, you know, they're kind of like looking over their shoulder like, hey, come to another tryout. Come to another tryout. Right. When you go to 14, 15 tryouts and they're just stringing you along, I mean, it's easy for him to want to go to where he's wanted and where he's coveted.
So you talking about that, you know, we also talked about a little bit of your history with Clash. You know, you're bringing in Jake Something for this show, who
yes.
is a guy that we've seen a lot of places, and I'm quite excited to see what happens with him at BCWA.
But is he tagging with Karam on this one?
No, they're actually going to be opponents.
Really?
Yes, Karam and Jake Something both challenging Barry Slammers for the BCWA Alliance Championship.
That's a good match.
Jake Something... You know, it's a funny thing about him. You mentioned Clash Wrestling. That's where they got him and his brother with Painkillers. They got their start there in Michigan, you know, 10, 11 years ago, whatever it was, 2008, I believe, 2009. I've been traveling a few car rides with Jake something down to Ohio. And I mean, he was a kid who you just saw him from day one. And you're like, this guy's got something about him that separates him from everybody else. He's got that star potential. And, you know, here he is really in the last 5 years, really coming to his own, really blown up. Also Impact Wrestling, I believe he's going by Jake Diener there, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been with them for about a year and a half.
Yeah, because we saw him when we did a little bit of work with them with Congo Kong there at the tapings. And he wrestled with, I forgot who he tagged with, but it was like a Border City show or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been around there. He's been under the contract with them, but he was lost in the shuffle. It's new flux of talent with the new management. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of got lost in the shuffle, but now they're starting to do something with him. So good on him. And I mean, the guy is packed on probably 30 pounds of muscle from the first time I saw him, and he's in incredible shape, and you know, more power to him. He's outstanding. Competitor.
So we talked a little bit already about the Rascals and them coming in, but let's talk a little bit about their opponents. Again, we've mentioned, you know, your connection.
Loop back.
You know, we're going to do that. And the reason I do that is only because I just, with us talking about, you know, your connection between the two, you know, how's it for you, you know, seeing all these people from Clash and BCWA, you know, like intermingling? Does it, like, you know, with them being BCWA champs, and aren't they Clash champs too?
Yes, HRD is the tag team champions in both companies. I mean, we both started together. I mean, all of us got our start at the same time together. And then there was a rift. We went our separate ways. We ran our own companies. We did our own thing. And then BCWA goes away, and a handful of us went over to Clash and got our opportunities there, seized the moment, seized the day, if you will, and did our thing. And now that BCWA has come back, it's kind of got this encompassing open door policy. It's looking for the most talented competitors it could possibly get to have the best roster in the area. And why not bring some of the best talents in Clash over? And I mean, Dr. Wrecking Ball, he was the first guy to break the barrier, if you will, for those Clash exclusive diehard type of guys. And I mean, that guy has got charisma off the charts and mic skills like no one else. And, you know, you had to assume not far behind would have been Dead Vaughn and his mad scientist, Tommy Tresnick. So it's awesome that those guys are there, and they're they're growing their stable, so to sorts, by having Rockstar Tucker Daniels, and they've somehow got him under their power where he's Michael T. Daniels, MD, or MTMDM for short, or whatever the hell they say. But, I mean, yeah, and then they've got a guy who Soul Taker throws in a body bag, and they run him out of there, and they steal him from the Soul Taker, and, you know, they throw him on the operating table, and they've got patience now. Like, it's just, it's a fun team, kind of creepy, kind of spooky, but you know what? They're the tag team champions because what they can do bell to bell is something that not many other tag teams can do. They work like a good cohesive unit.
Why does everyone hate Dr. Wrecking Ball? I mean, I had a chance to talk to Dr. Wrecking Ball. He's actually not a bad guy. I mean, maybe I'm just weird because I like him as a person. I don't know, but he hasn't done anything.
That's
to me.
That's because he bought you shots.
This is also a man that on Saturday nights used to come out to the ring and hand homework to children to make sure they did during his match because they weren't educated enough. So I think that's why he might have some heat on him.
I mean, you know, just got to preserve the minds of the children, man. You got to train them up in the way to go, man, and they won't depart from it. Wow, did I just quote a Bible verse? Wow.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Wow.
You definitely did.
Man. But I don't – and then they call him Meatball, man. They're like, that's not
just people are just mean.
I agree. I'm like, what?
Just mean.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Devin has grown attached to Wrecking Ball.
He's a cool guy.
I didn't say he wasn't.
I think if the people gave him a chance, they would actually like Dr. Wrecking Ball.
I mean, he was a major fan favorite in Clash Wrestling.
I was
going
to say, I used to go to the Clash shows when I was still in high school, and he was a favorite.
He was a major fan favorite. It was arguably the most popular competitor in Clash Wrestling at one point. And, you know, it's like anything else. You get so popular, the most popular guy, and then you fall flat on your face and you get embarrassed, and then people just turn on you so fast. As what's the thing? What's Daniel Bryan saying these days?
Fickle.
Yeah.
Fickle.
Yep. There you go. And Sami Zayn, it's interesting that all these worked blending the fourth wall in with the fans, if you will. But yeah, I mean, that's just after Wrecking Ball flips the heel turn, and he's adopted this doctor character after going through the time machine at Clash of the Future a few years ago.
I'm just looking at the camera. People, give Dr. Wrecking Ball a chance. He's really a nice guy.
Wow. Or an evil doctor.
So yeah.
Tommy, not so much, but since Dr. Wrecking Ball.
Since we're talking about the fans, you know, one thing we talked about with Josh Briggs leading up to Evolve, he was saying how he liked the smaller buildings and how, like, it gives a more intimate experience and makes for a louder crowd. Tell the fans that maybe haven't been to BCWA, you know, what can they expect? Because they pack the building out every fucking show.
Yeah. Wait, can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
People, get your tickets now. Get the VIP tickets so you can guarantee yourself a seat.
Otherwise, or you will be standing.
I mean, seriously, like, I'm not. I've been saying that all.
And no, we're not giving you the seats at the podcast table.
But no, seriously, people, get your VIP tickets, man, to guarantee yourself a seat. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
I mean, at first it was like, oh my god, this venue is going to be so small. How can you even get 100 chairs in here? Then it's like you get about 200 chairs in there. 200, I think, is on the nose. It might have been the one show, but. You just get the chairs crammed in, and I mean it's a fun environment. It's a family friendly show. So Kyle's cussing over here. You won't be hearing if you got kids. You're more than welcome to bring them and have yourself a great time. And it's an early enough start on a Saturday evening to where you can still go out and enjoy your Saturday night. You know, that 6 p.m. that 6 p.m. start time. So we bring the family entertainment, get your VIP tickets, as you said, but it's a different atmosphere because you have so many characters that our fans were with 11 years ago, 10 years ago, and they've been there with from their very beginning in their early days all the way up till now since the return, and you have these new characters that have come in, these new competitors that maybe some of the more diehard local wrestling fans are familiar with. So you almost get a split crowd at times.
Right.
It's got a really unique vibe to it. And it's, you know, hey, we're packing the place. So to your point, guys, thank you. Because, yeah, get your VIP tickets. We give a VIP experience like no one else does either. You most likely will get a pre-show match or a VIP experience match. You get selfies with some of the wrestlers out there, exclusive seating front row. Get some free swag that's going to get handed out every time. You know, we get those thunder sticks. I'm starting to see them. I can't believe we've been giving out thunder sticks for like four shows now, and the whole crowd's not giving them a clap along to somebody's theme song. I don't know. Just me, but I think if I had thunder sticks in my hands, I'd be slapping them over my head to somebody's theme song.
And I mean, just to further on Priest's point, like, you know, I've had people from my job. I've had my mom has come to a couple of shows, friends of mine that don't even watch wrestling. Like, don't think that you have to be a wrestling fan to come to these shows. Like, people that I know that don't even watch wrestling have come to BCWA, and every one of them has had a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Chris, he won some free tickets at
SummerSlam. Survivor Series.
I think it was Survivor Series, one of our shows that we do, you know, showing the pay-per-views. He won free tickets, and him and his crew come out there every month now, man.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're coming down from Detroit every show.
That's awesome.
You know, they've been there every show since the first one we had. Alicia's another one, you know, like, and every, like I said, everybody that we've had come in or come to the show has all had nothing but rave reviews. You know, another thing on the card that we were talking about a little bit before the show, we saw Randy West from Bomb Shelter at Evolve. And they've got a match this Saturday, too. I forgot who their opponents is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Bomb Shelter, I believe, is involved in the old Space Slam, Space Jam challenge match, whatever you want to call it. You know, every show we try to do like some kind of theme.
The Monstars coming.
Yeah, some kind of themed matchup. And, you know, we decided, hey, you know what? Space Jam is the influence for the movie. And what was that? A 5-versus-5 basketball game, right? You get the twin squad, you're the monster. So try to have some little bit of fun with it. I think we got some funny characters on one side. I think the Bomb Shelter, Jake Frost, Chase Burnett, and Ken Cash represent one team. And then, you know, you got your villainous Monstars, if you will, with Blaine Bordeaux, Andre Mayday representing the Cult. They got one of the Patient from H3RD, and I believe I believe your boy Tony Thunder and the Baddest with K-Nasty and boy Charlie Brown are joining up with that Monstars team as well. So it should be a good fun match. You know, that gives us the whole 5-on-5 dynamic, ties it in with the Space Slam theme of the show.
Speaking of Chase Burnett, he's another one who's been picking himself up some momentum. He was just out there with Zane out there at Beyond.
On the West, I mean the East Coast.
Man,
yeah.
So. Yeah, those guys, I mean, they've wrestled on Evolve. Yep. They've
Evolve,
been
Evolve, Dragon Gate.
Yeah, they were around in those early days at Beyond Wrestling. I mean, Beyond Wrestling, when it first started in its infancy, there was a handful of us that did go out there and are familiar with it, its very first couple shows just in small town Ohio, before it went to the East Coast and became what it is now, is, you know, one of the super hot indies. But, so Burnett, he was there from the very beginning, the very first Beyond Wrestling show. He wrestled on it. One of the first matches in Beyond Wrestling history. So, wow. I mean, it makes sense for him to get that redemption now he's back out there and get an opportunity to go out there and make a name for himself.
What's crazy is I was actually talking with Drew Gulak about both of them when I was in New York, because he was talking about his time in Beyond, and I mentioned...
Let me borrow that for a second. Hold on.
You better be ringing that bell a whole lot, asshole, because aren't you getting ready to go to Vegas?
Hey, language.
Man.
So you were talking to Drew Gulak.
Yeah, anyway, okay, we were talking to Gulak, and Gulak remembered both Zane and
good guy
Chase. So, yeah, I mean, they've been around a long time. And like I said, we're talking about big names in the game that they've worked with, too, long before, you know, they were in WWE and things like that.
Yeah.
Devin, you got anything else on this card you're looking forward to in particular?
Yeah, actually, a match that I wanted to touch on, kind of going back a little bit, the triple threat match with Barry Slammers, Jake Something, and Karam. Well, I've gotten to, you know, see Karam at a lot of indie shows and have some good conversations with him. He's a guy that, I mean, we really first saw him was, I want to say the last BCWA show. And when you see him, he's a guy that has the look.
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy, he's like a chiseled Greek god, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, talk to me about Karam, what you've seen from him, and what do you see from him in the future?
So, Karam is what he prefers to go by. Oh, it's okay. I rang announced a class show that he was on, and I called him Karam or Karam. Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell I called him now. But it wasn't Karam. Karam is what he goes by, the Wahash, which translates to beast.
Okay.
I mean, he's a badass. This was a guy you got to start, I believe it was like maybe 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more. Then tore his ACL early on in his career. So he's back on the mend, and he's back out there and representing the Death Threat Army. And those guys are like mercs, man. They're going to come in. They're going to do their job. They don't care if they hurt people. They're going to get in, get out.
So if you check out our last BCWA episode, you definitely should check out the bit with Death Threat Army. Everybody in there, you know, sat down with us. Alex Weir, you know, Aaron Orion. You had Jack Price, you know, and every one of them brought their own flavor to it. It was a really cool interview. Definitely go check that out on iTunes and all that good stuff.
Price is a little quiet, but you gotta watch out for the quiet.
Yeah, you know, once he opened up, it was cool. But then we got to talk about another past guest of our show that we've been talking about coming in, Isaiah Broner, too, like that whole group.
Definitely.
That whole group was fun to have on. But with BCWA coming, you know, you were talking about the triple threat. It just seems like you guys are just picking up all this momentum, man. Like, you guys started from the first show we went to was what, at the Yak?
Yeah.
The first show we went to was at the Yak. And you guys have literally continued to pack out that place every month. You know, seeing the growth of it being there from the beginning, what's it like for you guys to see the resurgence?
I think we all have a different take on it. I mean, me, naturally, I'm a little apprehensive and precautious because I haven't left the pro wrestling business. Some folks did for a few years, but I never left. I've been with Clash. I've been on hundreds of shows. I've booked hundreds of shows. I've written hundreds of shows.
Right.
Timed out hundreds of shows. So been around. But I'm just precautious because it's exciting. Don't get me wrong. It's exhilarating. You're like a proud papa sitting back there watching it, but you see the trends and you see the cycles of the business, and you always just have to get better with every show. Yeah, you pack this one. Yeah, you pack the next one. Yeah, you pack.
Don't you can rest
keep,
on your
keep selling out, keep selling out, keep selling out. But you know what? As soon as you get comfortable, as soon as you get complacent, those sellouts are going to stop coming, and you're going to go from 200 plus to 190 to 175 to 150 to 140 and so on down. So it's just your diehards there. And I think complacency is the biggest problem in professional wrestling.
100%.
I think it goes across every level from the local indies all the way up to the very tippy top. And that's our major number one enemy is complacency. And we just can't get complacent. So I'm always trying to be the precautious one. Yeah, it's exciting, cool, but maybe I need to start to learn how to live in the moment a little bit more and just enjoy it. But I know what can happen. I've seen the trends. I've seen some red hot things happen and fall just because, you know, you feel like you hit your peak and you hit your goal.
Well, let's touch on that a little bit. Talk a little bit, expand the conversation a little bit. Let's get Darius in here too.
I was just about to say, yeah.
But so a lot of people would probably say, we bring up complacency. A lot of people probably say WWE is dealing with that right now. A lot of people aren't really happy with where the product is right now. How do you, for someone that's booked shows, that's timed out shows, that's, you know, written shows, how do you, what's the best way to fight complacency? And then I got a question for you, Darius, after he answers.
It's very difficult because you have the same essentially brain trust who's there. So if you're used to something, you know something that works and you found your groove, it's hard to get out of that groove. So you have like your Vince, your Triple H, and you've had, you know, Michael Hayes has been there forever, and right. Arn was there. So I actually think it, a lot of the old guard is starting to slide out, and they're bringing a lot of these new producers in, these new writers in and things. And I think, number one, you got to cut back on how many writers there are. I think too many is a problem. That's me personally. Mm-hmm. But you do need someone who can devote 100% of their attention to an angle. So every angle you have should probably have a writer. Or maybe one writer is responsible for two angles. So I don't have a problem with the writers. But I think they probably have like 30 some from what I understand, which is just
it might be more than that.
Scale that back to about 18 and you're probably good. But I think they just have a lot of the same guys in there. They're all intelligent people. They're all amazing minds. But when you have the same 10 years and you know something works and you're just waiting for it to work, waiting for it to work, waiting for it to work again, it might not be there. You need something fresh. You need something new. You need somebody to come in with a fresh idea that is with the with the times.
I got to ask you because you're perfect person to ask about this. We've talked about this multiple times on the show. It always seems like when you watch like the weekly SmackDown and Raw and then you turn around and you watch NXT, it's totally two totally different things.
Three different shows.
You know, literally, you know, and like with NXT, it seems like on Raw and SmackDown, everything is like real rushed where like NXT, you know, like look at all you got to do is look at Gargano Ciampa. You know, like that was a year-long thing that had he not broke his neck, I mean, dude.
Probably the greatest payoff.
Dude, that was awesome. Yeah. You know, why do you think we see such a big difference in between, you know, even and especially if what they say about Triple H being like the head for NXT is true?
I'll be really happy to answer that question, but I know you had a question for Darius. You wanted to get him involved as well. I'll be coming right back.
I gotcha.
All right. So, Darius, well, first, how much of the current wrestling product do you watch?
Just a little.
Okay.
Bullshit.
Well, for you, what would you say was like the best time for you watching wrestling? Like what, how old were you? Like what years for you was like your favorite time of watching wrestling?
You were watching it heavy when we first met.
Yeah, definitely when we first met, but easily the Attitude Era. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker. I was a huge Undertaker fan. And I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. The reason I love Stone Cold, when I was a kid, it was just cool to see a guy open beer cans, smash them together, and drink them in the ring.
It was just
something cool about that. And then you had The Rock come in, who was this, you know, quote unquote, you know, savvy kind of swagged out guy after the Nation of Domination.
Right. But, I mean, he had a little swag in the Nation.
He said, I dug that too.
Once he got in there, that's really when it came out.
And that's what I really dug about it. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool to see these guys, you know, black power type of thing. I just thought it was pretty cool to see. So, and then I was a fan of The Godfather. I mean, the whole train was amazing. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, and I don't know, wrestling now, I've tried to watch it. Don't get me wrong, guys. But some of it is kind of boring to me within the WWE. And I know I have a lot of friends that do a lot of local shows. I know a guy, Alice Hightower. He's one of my close friends, actually.
Hey, we just had him on the show not too long ago.
Yeah, he's one of my close friends. I grew up with the guy. And it seems like his, you know, local wrestling is more entertainment than WWE. That's
I've been trying to tell you, dog.
Well, I think Vince needs to get away from what he's doing and kill the whole XFL thing that he's trying to do too. Like, come on, dude. We don't need that.
We need more football, damn it.
We don't. Not that.
What is football?
So to answer your question, I was happy. We just met like 5 minutes before we started recording this podcast. I had never met Darius before. But something told me he was going to answer that way, which is why I spun your question.
Oh, yeah.
So because he said the Attitude Era, and to answer your question why NXT is, how long was Raw in the Attitude Era?
How long was
like,
Raw?
How long was Raw in the Attitude Era?
It's like 90 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2 hours.
2 hour show.
Yeah. 2 hour show.
Two hour show.
I say that shit.
NXT is a 1 hour show.
Yeah.
How many characters did he just name in, I don't know, a minute of discussion? Right. Every single guy was a character. Every single guy was crammed into that 2 hour show and was doing something. NXT is a 1 hour show, and they're able to build up characters, mm-hmm. develop their characters within that 1 hour show and space them out. But then when they have their takeover pay per view, not every one of those characters was on there. Not every character in the Attitude Era was on their pay per view.
Yep. Right.
So right now, what I think is hurts WWE more than anything is overexposure of the same talent, because they're so hungry and thirsty for the ad dollars and the networks pleasing, and you're trying to appeal to a casual mainstream audience. So mm-hmm. you're trying to get your John Cena over. You're trying to get your Roman Reigns over. You're trying to get that next Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're trying to make that next connection. You're trying to do whatever you can do. But the problem is you have a three-hour show, so you've got to put these guys on every single week, and you have to overexpose them by putting them in a 10 to 15-minute match, as opposed to Stone Cold coming out, driving a beer truck, and having 4 minutes of television to get himself over, so then the next week he can do something else in 4 minutes.
One thing that bothers me is, like, I'm tired of seeing this. If I see Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Baron Corbin in a three-way match again, I'm going to scream. It's like, you can't keep putting the same matches out there every single week. And then it's like, well, why am I watching this?
And it's in your point earlier, the Bray Wyatt thing is the most hot thing in wrestling right now, right?
Definitely.
Firefly Funhouse, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why is that? Why is that exciting?
Because
it's different. A character.
Because it's different, and it's different, a character.
Right.
I watched it every week because, hey, I'm
you wanted to see
different.
What was going to happen.
I think there's no, I don't know for sure who's involved and who's not, but I think there's no coincidence that Bruce Pritchard comes back. Not long later, you're getting these pre-tapes with a very character-driven segment. Has Bruce Pritchard written all over it? Whether it's him doing it or not,
I agree completely.
Even if it was some discussion and he just goes, do this. It might have been that simple, but I would not be surprised if he had a slight bit of involvement or more.
Because if you go back, you think about Bruce Pritchard doing the Mr. Perfect vignettes. You think about Million Dollar Man. You think about a lot of the Undertaker vignettes. And just so happens, Bruce is back in the company. And Bray Wyatt, who I've been saying for years, needs to kind of go back to that the creepy kid singing. They got the whole world in his hands.
Dude, he was hot then.
And then,
yeah, they've always done that good.
Then, of course, John Cena comes in and kills
they
you.
Should do, they should do that more with guys. So you get guys like The Godfather,
right.
Who is – everybody remembers The Godfather.
Of course.
It's PG, but you can still do – I mean, I guess No Way Jose is a fun character. Not that he's The Godfather, but I didn't mean that.
Right.
I mean, you've got a guy with a cool entrance. He's got a bunch of people with him. He's a PG kid version of that. And what does he get? Maybe 30 seconds of TV mm-hmm. where he just gets killed if he's not on TV. They've totally misused this guy who's like 6'4", 250. And in my opinion, he's got a ton of charisma and could easily get over if utilized properly.
So we asked Darius what his favorite thing was as far as wrestling. What was it for you? Like, what was your favorite thing to watch? Not anything you booked, just what was your favorite thing as a fan?
Oh, geez.
Why do I feel like you're about to say something about NWA?
Well, I mean, my favorite three wrestlers were Bret Hart, Arn Anderson, and Lord Steven Regal before he became William Regal.
That's old school.
I didn't think
throwback.
He was going that way.
And then also,
not William Regal, Steven Regal.
Yeah, and also, you know, I was a big Bob Holly fan, which not many people were, but I was a huge Bob Holly fan.
But spark plug or?
Just in general, just something about the guy sold, the other guy worked, everything he did was just so good. But I guess as a young guy, I was just more intrigued to the story of the match, the art to it back then. My favorite match of all time is Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith, nice. SummerSlam 92.
At Wembley.
But I guess I always just look forward to like the technical wrestling. My peak fandom definitely would have been ECW. I was just a diehard ECW crazy Mark fan. But it definitely viewed wrestling different than my brothers and friends, even back then to now, where it's like I view it different than a lot of people. I get really behind the scenes and analytical with it. So
I feel like you and me need to have a beer just to talk about this type of stuff.
I'm not going to lie, though. If I'm going to have to pick a favorite wrestler, I don't know if that's where we're going to go with it. I have to say Edge.
Why so?
It was just
you always did pick his song when we used to play the games.
About Edge that was just – it was something about the dude, his whole gimmick, everything about him was just so great to me. And it was – he was just a great guy. Even the whole Edge of Christian era, all that was so cool to me. And when I used to go up against the Hardy Boys, I mean, you had some amazing matches there. But Edge was that guy. And then I know a lot of people are going to hate me, but I love John Cena.
Nothing wrong with that. John Cena.
There's nothing wrong with that, man.
And he was what most hated probably like 10 years
for
ago.
Sure,
he was his
for
peak.
Sure.
You know, I used to tell every wrestler that came into school, I said, you watch John Cena, and they would all go, oh, he sucks. I hate him. I go, he's the best wrestler on the planet right now. Watch John Cena, learn from him, study, and then come back and tell me what makes him the best.
Yeah.
And many of them couldn't, but then once they did figure it out, they were good.
Gotcha.
But he was awesome.
Well, talking about the school, we were also talking about NWA, you know. You had a hand in helping train Allison Kay, and now she's got their NWA title. She had the Shine title where we were at. Yeah. I mean, she's killing things. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I mean, she was she's definitely my like prize pupil, if you will. You know, my wife jokes to me all the time because she's just like, you know, that's like your baby is like a proud papa, and I couldn't be more proud of her. I mean, I take about 1% credit for just getting her to start, teaching her the bare bone basics, and the rest of it goes to her. I mean, she's very driven. She knew what she wanted. She went. She got it. She's had all the success she has. I still have a very strong relationship to her. I just talked to her 2 days ago. But, I mean, look at this. She goes April 27th. She wins the NWA Women's Championship, the Classic Belt. A couple days later, she jumps on a flight to Japan to go to Japan on a Friday to wrestle to get her Shine Championship back. I believe it was Sunday. What's the time zone there? 14-hour difference or something like that. So Sunday evening here, maybe Monday, early Monday morning, something like that. So she wins her Shine Championship back, hops on a flight that gets delayed 4 or 5 times, takes her 2 days, takes her 2 days to get home, and then she shows up at Shine on Friday. I mean, what a hell of a 2 weeks for that woman, and to be a champion of two of the biggest indie companies out there. I mean, I couldn't be more proud.
Growing up, were you more of a indie guy or WCW, WWE, WWF.
I mean, my favorite year of wrestling was 92 for both WCW and WWF. 92 was just, I mean, I loved what WCW was doing then. I mean, a lot of people hate the Bill Watts era, but I'm a fan of rules. Bill Watts or not.
Yeah.
Rules in wrestling are important.
Right.
If you
stipulations
don't,
should mean something.
If you don't have rules, how does the bad guy cheat to have the crowd hate him?
That's
I mean,
exactly.
If you do have rules and you have to enforce them.
Right.
There's rules now that just don't get enforced, so it's completely bastardized. But I liked 92 a lot. I flipped between the two. During the Attitude, I was always a WWF guy first.
Right.
WCW second. There was maybe like a small period, like maybe when Hogan first went to WCW that I might have leaned that way for a minute, but not long.
Well, the reason why I kind of asked that is because it feels like WWF, if you know, everybody knows that, but a lot of people don't know a lot about the indies. And kind of the thought is that if you like entertainment, you watch WWF. If you like actual wrestling, you watch the indies. To you right now, what's the best blend of both? Like, what is there a company that you see out there that does a good job of actually entertaining people? But if you just want to see two guys, you know, go out there and put on some great chain wrestling, you can see that too on the same show.
That's a really tough question because I'm not as connected as I once was. I think the easy scapegoat answer would be very intrigued by what AEW is going to do. But
I'll be there.
I don't know. I have my I have my suspicions there as well, of course. But I like a lot of the talent they have. It should be really interesting to see what they pull off. But I think every company has a lot of pros, and they have a lot of cons as well. MLW, from what I've seen, is pretty much in my wheelhouse.
They are fucking awesome.
But it's hard to really stay on top of it for me. But from what I've seen at MLW, I think it's I mean, that's where PCO really resurged himself with his vignettes and stuff, and that was right in what I enjoy as a fan, but kind of hard to get a hold of it, hard to stay on top of it. But I mean, what I've seen to them, I really dig it.
Yeah, it's a lot of wrestling.
They put on like a literally, man, that show in New York, like all I knew is it was tapings. They literally went for 4 hours straight, and there was not one match on that entire card where I was like, okay, that kind of sucked. Like, dude, let's be honest. Yeah. When you go to shows, there's at least one match where you're like, eh, that was all right.
Yeah.
But literally, I mean, you had Jimmy Havoc versus Tom Lawler, and Tom Lawler's just bleeding like a stuck pig. I mean, you've got Pentagon versus La Parca, and they fought all over the place. You had Simon Gotch with his little group come out and literally almost started a riot and almost got in a fight with the fan. You know, like, they're doing a lot of stuff. But here's one so that we can get everybody involved before we get off the show, and you're not going to expect this one. So we'll go to everybody at the table. Darius, we'll go to you first. If you can make a dream match any time period, doesn't matter who it is, who is it, what kind of match, and why?
Oh, man. That's a good one, man. I would have to go, let's say The Rock. Let's say Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's say John Cena.
In one match?
Yeah, this is a triple threat. John Cena. Let's call it a hardcore match. You fight anywhere.
Let's throw Hogan in there, man. See who's the who's the greatest draw of all time? I like.
So I mean, let's throw those three in the ring. We throw Hogan in there. We can throw those four. And we fight anywhere. This is hardcore, all over the ring, the arena, all that. Let's go for that one.
This is going to be like really, really digging in the weeds, but I'm gonna say Walter versus Kenta Kobayashi. I just want to see those guys chop in a chopping match, like a chest chop match or something.
Very
like that.
Outside the box.
That wasn't who I was expecting. And most definitely, the Kenta thing didn't get me, but I didn't expect you to say Walter.
Yeah, well, both of those guys are known for their chops, man. They, yeah. I mean, just really just go out there and they beat the hell out of each other, out of their opponents, man. Like, I just want to see them beat the hell out of each other, man. That'd be a good one.
That's good. It's hard for me. You know, I guess the one dream match now, guys, I see that probably the only thing I can really watch bell to bell and really enjoy is I'd like to see like the Revival, maybe lock it up with like the Brainbusters,
dude,
or something. Like
yes,
that.
Ooh. Yes, God, that would be awesome.
Ooh, I like that one. Old Arden Telly versus new Arden Telly.
Oh my God, that would be.
I like that one.
Dude, that would be totally awesome.
Who you got, Mr. Collison?
Obviously, it has to have Stone Cold in it. He's my all-time favorite. It has to be. So I've got a newer one and that old one. So I'll go first with Stone Cold. Stone Cold.
Wait, how did you get two?
The only reason you'll see why two? Because mine are – you'll see why in a second.
Okay.
So the match that I would put together, it would be – I'd like to see Stone Cold versus the newest version of Ciampa that we've seen. Because I feel like a story between those two could be insane. Because even though Austin isn't quote unquote a good guy, how many times have you seen him back in Attitude Era where he'd go up against somebody who was just utterly badass like The Undertaker and had that fan favorite thing too, but it just made it for kind of like a real hot thing.
Okay.
Another one that I'd like to see just because of all the hype that they're doing, it's the same new school, old school thing. That would be my match I'd put together. But just as a little bonus one, I'd like to see the Cody we see now against Triple H.
Interesting.
I don't know,
in
man.
A pissant match.
As I've gotten older, like Priest was saying, as I've gotten older, I've learned to enjoy the story part of wrestling a lot more. Like, I always watched the stories as a kid, but I didn't really – I don't know. I don't know if I didn't understand it, but I guess I didn't pay attention as close.
I just don't understand how you got to do two.
I don't – that doesn't count. My match is – the match I'm putting together would be Stone Cold and Ciampa.
Okay. I'm just messing with you.
I don't know, man. But at the end of the day, we got BCWA this weekend, man. You know, is there anything last that you want to let everybody know about Space Slam? And
wait, real quick. Talk to me about Barry Slammers, man.
Holy shit.
Barry Slammers.
That's Devin's, like, secret BCWA favorite.
Kid's super talented. I don't think he knows how good he is. He's just got to find You just got to find that on the audio switch, if you will.
You think it's just a mean streak?
I mean, I
think he's got the mean streak.
He's got a little bit of a mean streak. He's got to just turn the volume up a little bit more. Okay. Kid's got so much talent, though. I don't even know if he realizes how talented he really is. He's so good. But he's just got to harness it and just, like I said, just turn up the volume a little bit more and we'll be good to go on Barry Slammers. But as far as Space Slam goes, it's this Saturday, Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan. Follow Go BCWA for all the details. It's on all the social medias. Can't go wrong with that. I mentioned that Horror Slam Show Friday. I'll loop back to BCWA again. Horror Slam Show is this Friday. We talked about that. Clash Wrestling coming up June 8th. We'll have Raven in attendance there June 8th, Brownstown, Michigan. I'll be very much involved on that show as well. But BCWA Space Slam this
Allison
Saturday.
Allison K is coming in for that as well, right?
Yep, you'll have Allison K there. You'll have Raven. I don't even know who else is coming in for the June 8th Clash of the Future show. But BCWA, this Saturday, May 18th, Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan, we'll have a show for you guys. Main event, Dread King Logan, Justin Maine. For the BCWA Championship, BCWA Alliance Championship will be on the line when Barry Slammers defends against Jake Something and Karam. And then the Tag Team Championship on the line, Triple Threat Match, H3RD, The Rascals, and Black Sheep. You also have Tag Team Match with Studio 86 versus Crush and Steel. You have the Space Slam 5-on-5 Tag Match that we talked about. You've got, I believe we talked about Atlas Hightower. He's taking on the Frogun, D-Ray 3000. Also former TNA competitor, Frogun. We didn't even really talk about that match at all.
And Devin is wanting to get him on the show so bad.
Yeah, we will probably
yeah,
have him.
He should. And there's other matches that I'm sorry and apologize to those in them.
That just shows you how stacked the show's about to be, dude.
Okay, can we address Studio 86 for a second?
Please do, because I wanted to say something about that when he said that.
So what pills is Blackwell taking to make his hair grow like that?
Oh, see, I talked to him just this past weekend, and he gave me like some Pirelli's elixir and some carrot juice. Hasn't worked so far, so I've been trying it myself. But what he says. That's what he says he's using.
And what about the damn Darius glasses that Big Daddy Gaddy's got?
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
All he can say is yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to show him a picture, a video of Blackwell and his new hair.
It's impressive that he can grow it out so fast.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Last question?
You pretty much covered it because I was going into Studio 86.
I've got one last question, and it's about, I know you don't like talking about yourself, but it's about you. But where did you get that great ring entrance from? Man, I love it, man. The slide and the foot tap, man.
I mentioned Lord Steven Regal, right?
Uh-huh.
So I wiped my feet on the ring because of him, and then also because on your first coming up and training and wrestling, it's like, hey, you don't walk into somebody's house and just not clean the mud off your shoes. You just step into a ring. That's a clean place. That's where you're about to do some business. So why not clean your feet off?
Right.
But I kind of took that from Regal. The strut just came naturally. I had a theme song I could walk to. I think that's essentially, if they have a theme song you can walk to. Mm-hmm. And my theme song had that. So now I've just adopted it to whatever show song it is. I just do the same walk. The high leg kick, I don't know. You get into a ring a bunch of times and you try a couple different things out and then finally something sticks. So appreciate you noticing the little things, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, cause I remember the first time I saw it was probably, I think I saw it before then, but at the Yak Arena, I'm like, I like that. Like he took time on that one, man. I like that.
Yeah, it just evolved naturally. I mean, every time I've ever gotten to a ring, I've wiped my feet. And then you just take it and you make it something. And that's what I say. If you got 10 seconds or 10 minutes, you take that time and you make it memorable with whatever you got. And everybody should do it. Everybody should maximize their minutes. And that's a JR thing, but you definitely have to. I mean, if you want to stand out in pro wrestling, you have to seize every opportunity that's given to you.
So Darius, after everything we've told you about Space Slam, are we going to see you there this Saturday?
It's a possibility.
I love how he hesitates.
Your boy Hightower is going to want to see you there.
I know, right?
And that's the thing.
He commented on our picture with a quickness, and now you ain't going to show up to the show.
He's been trying to get me to a show forever. Listen, guys, you hear it here on air. I'll be there Saturday. After work, of course.
Okay. I got to work that day, too, but I'll be there, so I hear
And he's
you.
Going up against the Fro Gun, right?
That's right.
Man, you're going to enjoy that match. Trust me, man. But, Darius, thank you for joining us, man. Why don't you go ahead and let the people know your social media if you got that out there, and you know if you selling something, you know, like illegal meat at the trunk of your car, man. You know,
or cars.
You put that out there or something like that.
Well, I'm not selling illegal meat, guys. That's just stupid. You can follow me on Instagram, the icon DSams. That's with an S, not a Z. And I just want to throw this out there because I'm on the air. Kyle Campbell, if you're watching this, how do you feel about Damian Lillard now, my God?
Shots fired.
Okay, I want you to say something. I've been trolling you for like 3 weeks straight. You have not said anything to me.
I think how that's because Kyle's usually Damian the one doing Lillard. The trolling.
I just want to say Damian Lillard is probably one of the best point guards in the West.
There we go.
Appreciate
shots
you.
Fired.
Thank
Randy's
you.
With it.
Hashtag Dark Randy.
I had a great time today, guys. So, yeah, we're... Definitely come out to the show on Saturday. So I'll be there. That. I'll be there.
Are you coming out to and if you guys can't make it out to BCWA for some unforeseen reason?
First of all, shame on you.
But yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's not your only chance to see us this weekend, man. We're also going to be out with the boys from Breaking Down the Ring this Sunday, Buffalo Wild Wings, downtown Detroit. We'll be there watching Money in the Bank, all that good stuff. Yeah, so we'll be out multiple places, but you should be at both.
I should be there Sunday. Come see my amazing looking face. Yeah.
Mr. Priest, any social media you need to get out there, man?
I think I've just got the Twitter and the Instagram, and they're the same. It's at @Matthew_Priest, Matthew with one T, @MatthewPriest, PRIEST. That's me. I'm on both. I'm not that exciting of a follow, but I appreciate anyone who does. Yeah. And then you got at GoBCWA, at Clash Wrestling. That's about all I got for you guys.
That pretty much sums it up. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram. All our episodes are also up on KO3CPod.com, put together by Randy. And
Randy.
Exactly, man. I'm just kind of bummed it didn't make more of an appearance this time. But
wait. Randy, you got anything you want to say? Any drunken words?
Fuck your couch.
He stole my shit.
You can buy another couch.
First Tony, now it's Randy,
I stole it first. Can I say what the rest of it was?
Go ahead.
When they said they should have never gave you niggas money, that was the funniest bit, Dave Chappelle. Amazing. They should have never gave you niggas money. Hilarious. Real quick, man, shout out to Booze Treats. This lady brought us some of the best.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. Treats are good.
Ciroc Red Berry Popcorn.
It tastes like Crunch Berry.
And Hennessy infused popcorn. Black people, we love Hennessy. Booze Treats. This lady is amazing.
Boozy
Treats.
The martini glass is the Y.
Whether they're boozy or Booze Treats, I thought they were pretty damn good. So I highly recommend it.
And hey, Randy, what was the name of the show that she was on?
Real Talk with Angelita.
Yeah, check her out too, man. We got to
subscribe
with her, man. Yes.
And check them out on iTunes. Also, make sure you're checking us out on iTunes and everywhere else, too, because we're trying to get the likes and subscribes up there as well.
Facts.
We're going to be more out on YouTube as well, so be looking for the video of this on YouTube as well.
All righty.
That sums it up.
That's it?
I can't say my line because Randy already fucked it up. I stole it. I stole it originally, but he stole it from me, so fuck you, Tony.
It's just like the wrestling business. Everybody steals from everybody.
Tony, you stole it. It's your fault. You started this shit.
Man, we'll check you out next week. Make sure you follow us on all our social medias, all that good stuff. Until next time, take care of yourself. And oh, wait, that's stolen too. Till next time, peace.